First of all, I'd like to say that I'm here on behalf of the manufacturer of the six-dot Braille label maker. And the manufacturer is Logantech, LLC. They're located in Waterbury, Connecticut. The company that I'm working with that is contracted with Logantech to do outreach, in other words, get the word out about this and other products, is called Voices of Experience. You may have heard of us primarily because Voices of Experience was started 6 years ago as a recording studio. I was brought in to work as the audio engineer and sound designer. But the whole purpose behind that company was really to do three things: to promote empowerment in the areas of accessibility, communication, and education. And for most of the last 6 years, we've worked pretty heavily on communication and education, and some on accessibility. But with the opportunity to work with Logantech with a new product and some others, we thought this was a good time to get involved in this. The reason I'm here today is primarily to talk with you about the new, or I think honestly I'd have to say the second generation, 6-dot Braille label maker. Some of you, and I know at least one person in this room, had the first generation 6-dot, and as you may not know, that product was originally developed from a crowdsourcing funding. The product was a great idea, and in many ways it revolutionized Braille label making. Unfortunately, the original product also had a lot of bugs. Some of the bugs could be easily fixed, but truthfully some of them were just beyond repair. Logantech learned about the product and decided they wanted to take a shot at improving it. And so they bought and now own all the rights to the 6-dot Braille label maker, and it's being manufactured here in New England. What I can tell you is that it essentially works like the first version, except it doesn't have the bugs of the first version. Although I heard an anecdotal story the other day that somebody got one of the very first 6-dot Braille label makers that was released and had a few problems with it. The company, when you purchase the product, gives you a 1-year warranty on parts and labor, which is better than most companies do. But there are a few differences between the first generation and the second generation, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time comparing them. I'm mostly going to focus on what's available now. The 6-dot Braille label maker is unique in that it doesn't require you to turn a wheel and squeeze a handle. We're all familiar with those label makers. The good ones aren't available anymore, those with the metal ones from 3M, and even they had their problems. This label maker has a built-in Perkins-style keyboard, which enables you to write anything in Braille that you could want to write, any brief form or Braille grade 2 contraction. The unit also doesn't depend on you using extensive hand or finger pressure when you press the keys, because pressing the keys doesn't directly emboss the Braille. The machine itself takes the responses from the keyboard and in turn embosses them. So someone with hand strength challenges or weakness in their fingers, or with arthritis, would have a much easier time using this device. Second of all, the device is battery-powered, unlike the strictly mechanically-powered label makers, and that could be a plus or a minus, depending on how you look at it. The label maker can also be used not only from its built-in Perkins-style keyboard, but an external QWERTY keyboard can be attached, which means that someone who doesn't know Braille can easily produce Braille labels. I need to add parenthetically here that just because you have a QWERTY keyboard doesn't necessarily mean it will work with a 6-dot labeler. We're now in the process of evaluating a whole bunch of QWERTY keyboards so we can put a list up on the Logantech website of keyboards that we know work. They're all pretty inexpensive nowadays, so if you had to buy one, it wouldn't be particularly costly.
These are USB keyboards?
Yes, although I will tell you that the labeler has a, what's the smaller USB? Is that mini or micro? I always get them confused.
Micro is the one that has the two little points on
it. Okay, then the mini is smaller, and it does require an adapter to your USB connector on your keyboard, because the connection on the 6-dot Braille label maker is the tiny version of USB. The company can provide those if you want one. This label maker runs on 6 AA alkaline batteries. The original one, I think, ran on 4. I had one of the originals, but I've already tried to push the memories of it away because this one works so much better. I can't tell you how long a set of the batteries will last, but I know in the old one they lasted about 4 months. I suspect it'll last longer in this one. one of the big problems with this earlier version of the label maker and with handheld label makers in general is that they tend after a while to have two problems: tape jam and poor scoring or cutting capability. I've experienced it with every label maker I've owned, and I've owned several different versions dating back to the late 1960s. I've had the 6-dot Braille label maker now for a month. I haven't been able to get it to jam yet, and I've tried. I don't say it won't ever happen, but it hasn't happened yet. I've also found that it does a pretty good job scoring the tape so that when it cuts the label, and I'll get to that in just a minute, it's pretty easy to begin to peel the backing. When you make a label on this device, one of the great features is that you don't have to play around with the tape to get it into the right position so it will cut your label properly. Once the machine is turned on and you braille a label and you're done and you hear the machine stop embossing, you simply press the cut button. The machine moves the label to the proper position, cuts it, and scores the tape. Big advantage over the handheld labelers. There is an AC adapter available as an option for this device. If somebody's planning to use the labeler in one place most of the time and they don't ever want to have to worry about batteries, there is a wall adapter, or what I like to call a wall wart, available, and that's something that somebody might want to consider. However, we generally expect that people are going to be toting these devices around to various places, to various desks, so it had to be set up so that it would be battery powered. There are some buttons on the face of the labeler that currently are reserved. And why would that be? Because we see this device as one that will evolve. Right now, all of its features are very usable and fun to use. I can tell you I've made way more labels since I got this machine than I ever did with my handheld labelers because it's so easy. But it is a machine that will evolve. And the way it will evolve, and this is where you come in, is everybody who gets a labeler and uses it and has ideas about how to improve it or add more features needs to let us know, because that's what's going to determine how it will evolve. The company has some of its own ideas, but your ideas are extremely important because you'll be using the device. I would love to arrange to have a labeler shipped to everybody in this room who could use it, and all you have to do is place an order with the company. I say that because they're not backlogged. They have at least 100 labelers on the shelf in boxes ready to go. So as soon as you place your order, as soon as the check clears, or unless you use a credit card, and you can use a credit card, a check, or PayPal, and you can pay online to a very secure website, they'll ship it very quickly. I think the longest anyone's having to wait now is 2 weeks, but that's even more time than I would expect that you'd have to wait. Installation of the labeling tape I find much easier than with other labelers because the machine does half of the work. Once you start the tape, there's a wheel inside the loading compartment that grabs the tape. Once that starts, your work is done. It pulls the tape to the proper position, you close the tape loading door, and you're ready to go. Another option that is being considered, and I would strongly recommend that you consider this yourself, is a carrying case. I actually am a collector of various cases for various things. It's just one of my little hobbies. And I actually had a case that this labeler fit perfectly. And I've recommended it to the folks at Logan Tech. I don't know how available it is. Somebody gave me a few cases some months ago, and it just so happens it's perfect for the labeler. I will also say that the labeler may be sold in several ways, as a single standalone device, or in a package with other items, including the AC adapter, the keyboard, an external USB keyboard, and also another device that Logan Tech has developed called the Braille Coach. For people who are just learning Braille, this is a very interesting product. I'll also mention the Braille Label Maker from Logan Tech is being sold nationwide and in Europe and Asia and the Middle East. But Logan Tech is also the official New England representative for products made by HIMSS. Logan Tech is not the only one selling them, but Logan Tech is the official representative for HIMSS products. If you're not familiar with HIMSS, they make the BrailleSense U2 with a 32-character Braille display. I've had one for 2 years. I have to say, thanks to the Deafblind Equipment Distribution Program, most of you probably don't realize this, but I have lost about 70% of my hearing and used two very powerful hearing aids and am now considered deafblind. Thanks to that program, I'm quite grateful to admit that I have been able to get a hold of the BrailleSense U2. I can honestly say that there isn't a day that goes by that I don't use it, probably for several hours. I've become much more dependent on Braille than I used to be, and I'm sure glad I learned how to read it and write it. Hims also makes another product called the BrailleSense Mini, which is essentially the same as the U2, except it has 18 cells instead of 32, and it's a little smaller. They also make something called the Edge, which I have to tell you, in my personal opinion, is a Me Too product, because there's at least 8 or 9 companies out there with Braille displays. I happen to like the Edge. I like their Braille display, but there are other companies that are also doing a great job. And some of them are less expensive. Some of them are more. There are 2 products from Hims which I'd be happy to tell anyone about at some point after the meeting, by email, on the phone, in a group presentation. These 2 products are so new to me, I just received them in the mail from UPS yesterday. So I can't really tell you too much about them, except what I've read and a little that I've learned by testing them. These products are the Blaze ET, which is a handheld device that it's kind of a cross between an iPhone, a Victor Reader Stream, second generation, a color identifier. The greatest feature of the product, however, is the feature that I think is going to sell the product. It has a built-in camera, and within seconds, you can take a picture of a page of print, and it starts reading it. Yes, I know you can get the KNFB reader for your iPhone. I don't like to put all my eggs in one basket. I'd rather have 3 or 4 technology items, so if one fails, I'm not really up the creek without a paddle. I also like a device with buttons. Some of you here may not care about that. I happen to be someone who does. The Blaze is totally accessible, and all of the functions are button-controlled. So, you know, you say potato, I say potato. It really depends on what you like, but it's a product to take a look at. The other one is a miniature Braille display called the Smart Beetle. It is a 14-cell display with Bluetooth and Wi-Fi capability. You can also plug it directly into or connect it to your PC, and it will interface with iOS devices and Android devices. I just got it yesterday, and I began playing with it, and I can tell you that it has that unusual keyboard layout that almost all of the Braille keyboards have nowadays. They claim that it's more ergonomic. That would have to be up to you to decide. But it seems like the days of the keyboards that you'd find on a Braille and Speak have pretty much disappeared, which I think is unfortunate. That's a personal opinion. But all of the companies, Freedom Scientific, Baum USA, Hims, and other companies have all seemed to have graduated, if it is graduating, to these keyboards that seem curved a little bit more like the length of your fingers rather than keys straight across. It takes a little getting used to, but once you get used to it, it's really not a problem.
Can you label something just so we can hear what it sounds like?
Absolutely. The machine is turned on. There's a switch on the right-hand side. It's one of those rocker switches, but instead of going up and down, it goes backward and forward. When the machine is off, the flat part of the switch is toward you. When it's on, the pointed part of the switch is toward you. It doesn't make a noise when you turn it on, and that's one recommendation I have made to the company that I'd like to see them alter. The machine is turned on, and I'm going to write, "Welcome to ViBug," and I'm going to use all grade 1. You heard that beep? You hear it making a funny whizzing noise?
No.
I've just written the words, "Welcome, space, 2, space, V-I-B." I just made a Braille error. Okay. Now, it's still printing. Can you hear that noise?
I thought you had said that when you're
typing on it, it's not actually printing directly at that point.
It starts embossing about a second after you start typing, but it doesn't finish when you stop typing. It takes a couple of seconds longer to complete its embossing. So now it's done.
When you made that mistake, is there a backspace or anything?
There is not, and that's another excellent suggestion. But there might be a way to do this so that it wouldn't actually produce the label until you were happy with what you had Brailled.
I think that would be great.
And that's a suggestion that's been made by several of the customers.
A little bit of memory so that you can get some characters in there and then it embosses.
Well, actually, someone went a bit further and said, wouldn't it be nice if you added speech to it? So it not only would save the information in memory, but you could review what you had written just to make sure you were totally satisfied before it embossed it. It might raise the cost or it might not. I can't say. But it, if it did raise the cost, it would also be raising the capability. I'm sorry?
What is the current cost of it?
The current cost is $599 plus shipping. But remember, you're not getting a mechanical 20th century labeler. You're getting a device that is both mechanical and electronic, and it is computer-based, which in one way is really good. Because it's using software, the machine could be made to do other things by altering or upgrading the software. So it has potential in it that is not currently being used. And one of the ways that you can tell that is just above the space bar and just below the Braille keys are three additional buttons. Two of them are a left and a right pointing arrow. Those keys are reserved currently. And between them is a round button, which is the print cut button. And I'm now going to press that. The machine beeps. You hear it do its thing, and then it beeped, and the label has come out. I'm going to pass it to Tim.
Wow, this Braille is awesome.
One of the things that I will tell you about this machine that's different from other labelers, all the other Braille labelers I've ever used have used half-inch wide labeling tape. This machine uses 3/8-inch wide labeling tape, and you might wonder why. I wondered myself. I was pretty happy with what the other machines were doing. And it's for two reasons. They discovered they could get more accurate Braille on this narrower tape. And the other reason is a really good reason, and that is that the 3/8-inch tape is much more widely available and it's cheaper.
But not in clear.
Yes, it is available in clear.
Where?
Among other places on the Logan Tech website.
Since when? I have a labeler, Roger. Mm-hmm. I love my labeler. Don't get me wrong. I miss the half inch. I prefer the half inch. Mm-hmm. If I were to make a recommendation, I'd say go back to it, but it's not going to happen.
But
I know when I purchased my labeler, they were not able to get the clear.
They are now.
Then they should email people and let them know.
And that's an excellent suggestion. I'm glad you put that forward. I will tell you, the last time I checked on the website was Tuesday. I seem to recall there were three colors listed plus clear. And you could buy a box of 10 rolls of any color, including clear, for $34.
I have a labeler as well, and the clear tape is news to me because when I spoke to Mary Wyatt as of maybe a couple of weeks ago, they did not have any clear tape. But I will look on the website.
New development.
Oh, sure, that'd be good.
Yeah. A lot of people have been asking, and to be honest, if you're a person who puts labels on things that have print on them, the labels aren't clear. It's going to be next to impossible for somebody to read the print. I've been insisting with Glenn Dobbs, the president of the company, and others, that they absolutely have to offer clear tape. Their website is not the only place you can buy this tape. I found it in other places, not only places online, but in retail stores. They felt when they did their research, the 3/8-inch wide tape was available in more places, and it was cheaper. And I would agree with those two notions. The clear tape, as far as I recall, it is now available.
Did you purchase the label yourself?
I did.
Did you go through the Deafblind
unit? The Deafblind Equipment Distribution Program probably wouldn't have provided me with a labeler.
Correct.
Because they deal with distance communication. I could argue that this labeler might fall into that category, but I hate to make a bad pun, but it would fall on deaf ears. I did purchase the labeler myself, and there is a program for those who had the original labeler. Does anyone in this room have the original labeler?
Yeah, I have one.
If you have the original labeler, you can trade it in to Logan Tech and get a $200 discount on the new one. And you also will get 4 coupons. And if you find 4 other people that want to purchase new labelers and they end up purchasing them, you will get $100 back on each of those purchases. So if you end up finding 4 new people after you trade up and trade in your labeler, and you find 4 people who purchase the new labeler, you'll get essentially all of your money back. The program only runs till the end of December of this year. So if you have one, you can save money yourself quite a bit, get a really good working product, and if you're a little bit of a hustler, you can end up getting your labeler almost for free.
The battery installation of the new one, is it much easier?
It's so much easier. That old labeler was a pain in the you-know-what to replace batteries. This one has a nice battery compartment with springs at the appropriate places for the negative and positive ends of the battery. They go in easily, nothing moves around. There's not a little module you have to pull out of the machine like you did on the old one. When you buy the labeler, if you are a Braille user, and of course that's probably why you'd buy the labeler, for most folks anyway, it comes with a print getting started guide. If you want the getting started guide in Braille, you can ask for it and it will be provided at no cost. However, I'm going to blow my own horn here. Voices of Experience has been contracted to produce an in-depth audio tutorial for the labeler, which is a great deal more detailed than the getting started guide. We've completed the text, and in the next 2 weeks, we'll go into the studio and record it, and it's going to be done in a kind of a conversational style. I think you'll enjoy it. It's what Voices of Experience is good at, and we've done things like this for other people. So if you really want details, my advice is get your labeler, obtain the Braille Getting Started Guide, and everybody who has bought a labeler up until the time that the audio tutorial comes out will be shipped under separate cover, a copy of the audio tutorial, and from that point on, everybody who buys one will get it at no additional cost. I've been told that when it's done, LoganTech is going to put the audio tutorial up on their website so that if you're just not sure that you want to spend $600, hey, it's a lot of money. I'd be the first one to say so. I think it's worth it, but it's still a lot of money. So what you might want to do is be eager to get the labeler, but be eager to be more informed, in which case you might consider going to the LoganTech website and listen to or download the audio tutorial or access the text of the audio tutorial and read it with JAWS or NVDA or System Access or whatever screen reader you use, and it'll tell you things about this device in considerable detail, like how to load the tape, how to load the batteries, how to connect up the USB keyboard. You know, for someone who's not a novice, you might think, hey, I don't need to know this stuff. And you might not, but you just might find it fun to listen to. There was an audio recording that came with the first Braille labeler, but all it really was a rehash of the Getting Started pamphlet that came with it. The audio tutorial that we're finishing follows the same steps as the Getting Started guide, except it goes into a great deal more detail than that does.
Question, Roger, how do you get the back off of the tape?
At the end of the last put on the tape, which I think was ViBug, beyond that, I hit the space bar and put a little extra space in there. I really didn't need to do that. But at that end of the tape, on the back, it has been scored, which means it's not totally cut, but it's been scored. And with a fingernail, I use a fingernail, I go to the end of the tape and find the place where it's scored. And if it doesn't easily peel off, you bend back that little half-inch piece of tape at the end, and it should break off and I'll back.
Okay, that was what I was expecting. I'm going to pass it back to you and see if you can...
When I first got this device, my reaction was, it doesn't peel enough of the back off to make it easy to start removing it. But I see it's still here, and it's just a small little bit at the end of the tape, and as soon as I get it started, you'll see. The problem is, once I start it, you won't be able to tell where the score is.
It's okay. I'm going to put it on the ViBug laptop, and we'll just leave it on there.
The cutting and the scoring seems to be the weak point of these labels.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
With all of them.
My first one had to go back because of that, and my second one may have to go back for it. I don't know yet. It is the one thing that they seem to be prone to having problems with.
Right now, my hands are a little bit sweaty, so I'm even having a problem.
Jerry, send it over here. We'll do it.
Yeah. They tried to strike a balance between stickiness and the ability to remove a label. If you peel the back and just lay it on something, which I'm not sure why anyone would do that, but if you do, you can peel it off. When I get a label, I intend for it to stay there, so I run my fingers gently back and forth across it, make sure it's stuck firmly. And once that happens, it's probably not a good idea to remove it, unless the surface happens to be glass or plastic. If it's paper or cardboard, it's probably going to tear. So the stickiness on these labels is actually a lot stronger than the company makes it sound like. That's been my experience anyway. And I agree with Ted. All the labelers, to one degree or another, have a problem with scoring the tape. My comment about this is that it scores it a little too close to the end of the tape for my liking. That's something they can probably work out and make it a little easier. When you run out of tape in this machine, it will beep at you, let you know it needs attention. And you can open up the tape compartment and remove any last or loose pieces of tape and install a new roll. And it's recommended that you do all that with the machine turned on, so that as you slide the tape against the tape wheel that moves the tape through the machine, it can grab the tape. And that's really the safest and best way to load new tape in the machine. It comes with two rolls of tape that come in those little plastic holders. But if you get Dymo tape or something like it that is not in one of those holders, it will still work in the machine. So that's something to consider as well.
All right, does anyone have any more questions for Roger?
Last, what are the respective websites for Logan Tech and for your company?
Go to Logan Tech, LoganTech.com. Voices of Experience, if you go to our website, it's mainly developed around our audio capabilities, but the website is no capitals, no spaces, Voices of, and the word experience begins with an X, not an E, because the acronym is VOX, which most of you in this room know stands for voice. And that's a big part of what the company does. The most recent project Voices of Experience engaged in the first part of this year, was to restore and recover over 30 hours of audio material that the American Foundation for the Blind had in their archives related to Helen Keller. Most of it has never been heard or hasn't been heard for at least 40 or 50 years. And they contracted with the Voices of Experience to restore and recover the material. If you go to the AFB website and hunt around a little bit, you can find that they have put snippets of some of this material that we restored back on their website. The most interesting piece of all the work we did, and it was over 30 hours of material, was we restored the first known example of described video. The year was 1937. The movie was Snow White. They took the soundtrack of Snow White and added descriptive video to it. Most people are not aware that that was ever done, and almost all existing copies of it have been destroyed. We were able to get our hands on one that was nearly unplayable. It was so badly damaged. But Voices of Experience is in the business of recovering things. If any of you listened to the Radio Perkins program a few months ago, you might have heard us talking about what we do, and one of the examples we gave was a before and after example of this Snow White soundtrack. David Baharian was one of the hosts for that program, and he heard the before and after. I would say, and you'd probably agree with me, David, that the before was almost unintelligible.
Yeah, it was.
The after was quite listenable.
Yes.
And that's an example of technology at work, not only digital technology, but analog technology as well. And some very rare and relatively unavailable recording and playback equipment that we've installed in the studio. So any of you who are interested in Helen Keller or history of AFB, you might want to check out their website and get some examples of some of our recording and editing work.
After you score the tape and you're ready to make the next label, does the machine wind the tape back so you're not wasting any tape?
It does. It moves the tape into the proper position to start labeling again without giving you extra tape. I actually advanced it after I finished the label, and you really don't need to do that. It's much better at economizing labeling tape than any of the other machines that I've used. Somebody else had a question?
No, the prices for the last two Hams products, you mentioned the one that does everything.
The Braille Sense U2 with the 32-character Braille display, I'm just going to give you round figures, is about $5,600. The Braille Sense Mini, and by the way, these devices come with either a Braille or a QWERTY keyboard, and the price is the same. The Braille Sense Mini with an 18-cell Braille display is around $3,900. The Braille Edge, or the Edge, which is a 40-character Braille display, 40-cell Braille display, is around $2,900. The Smart Beetle, I think the last price I looked at this morning was $1,295. The Blaze, there are two versions of the Blaze, and I'm going to tell you honestly, I wouldn't recommend the first one. The first one is called the Blaze EZ, and that's being offered on a special right now for somewhere under $600, and it's because it's being phased out. The Blaze ET, which is the one I have, is $795 And I think I should also mention that Logan Tech is also selling some low vision products as well. Most notable among them is a product that they won a first prize in a 147 country competition on innovative technology. And HIMSS won this prize for a product called the Candy. It's kind of on the idea of the Ruby or the Pebble. Some of you may be familiar with that. But it's a bit more innovative, and it does some things, I think, better than those two products. And it's in the $600 range.
I loved the product before I purchased it because I had an injury to my hand. I couldn't make any labels. But one of the other things that I think is so good about Logan Tech is we had a problem with ours when we first got it, and we called and talked about the problem, and the response time for solving the problem, getting us a new labeler, and helping us to return ours was very quick. We got our labeler on a Thursday. By that next Monday, without even telling us they were going to send us a new one, that was just the decision they made, we had our new labeler in hand. And the next day, our other one was picked up.
They are a very responsive company. In fact, Logan Tech had promised me they would ship me the Smart Beetle, the Candy, and the Blaze ET. And they promised me that they would be shipping them in time for me to at least get my hands on them before this presentation. And they said, you should get them on Friday. They didn't tell me they were being shipped from Texas. It's a good thing, because I wouldn't have expected to get them for a week. I find HIMSS directly is a little slow at shipping things. Logan Tech is very quick. In any case, they called and told me on Wednesday the shipment was arranged, and I should have it by Friday. On Thursday, I had to go to the post office for something in Weymouth Landing, which is not far from where I live. I did my business at the post office. I came out. I happened to have been taking a cab, and the driver didn't come back to the cab after I got in. I didn't know where he was. A couple of minutes went by, and somebody tapped on my window. I rolled the window down, and it was this guy I know who delivers for UPS. He said, hey, Roger, I saw you getting into the cab. I'm really glad I saw you. I said, why? He said, you got a package from Texas, but I can't deliver it. I said, why? He said, because it's delivered to apartment 4, and there isn't an apartment 4 in your building, and I don't know what your apartment number is. I can't remember. So I was going to have to return this to the sender. He said, it just so happens I saw you in front of the post office when I was driving by. I had been to a doctor's appointment before going to the post office. It was supposed to be one of those deals you go in and out in 5 minutes. It was for a blood test. But I got held up at the lab for 20 minutes. If I had not been held up at the lab, my friend Jerry, who works for UPS, would have never seen me in front of the post office. And he wouldn't have been able to deliver that package to me through the window of the taxi cab. Is that coincidence? You have to decide.
Maybe it's a God incident.
Well, he was a taxi driver. He said he didn't.
Yeah. Oh, the post office guy stopped him and said, hey, is that Roger in your cab? And he said, yeah, it is. He goes, I got something for him. I mean, it's a weird way to get UPS, but I guess they really do deliver. So I want to thank you all for inviting me, and on behalf of Logan Tech, and the president of Voices of Experience, who isn't here today, she's online listening, so I have to be careful what I say. Her name is Jane Kronheim, and some of you have gotten emails from her, and the rest of you, be on the lookout for them. I want to thank you for the invitation, and on behalf of the president of Logan Tech, Glenn Dobbs, who was unable to be here, I can be in two places at once, but he can't. So thank you again, and I hope to come back sometime soon to talk about some of the other interesting and exciting products we're helping to promote. Thanks.
Thank you, Roger.